This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Well, Sean, it is Saturday somewhere, so happy Saturday.
No, you cannot steal that. It's not, I guess you're technically, it is Saturday in Nova Scotia. Happy Saturday to our great friends up north. You know what the people of Nova Scotia could use? You know what anyone could use? Omaha Steaks. That's right. Go to omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Right now, 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus you save 50% when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSIN. I love Omaha Steaks, the steaks, the chops. It's all delicious. And now you're getting 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings. This is great. You got a playoff party. You got some late holiday stuff going on. This is great. I mean, again, fire these up at the tailgate, or if you're just, Super Wild Card Weekend. What goes better with Super Wild Card Weekend than some wings from Omaha Steaks? Go to omahasteaks.com/VSIN to get started today. Joining us on the line from the Bottom Line Bombs podcast, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, Mr. C.J. Sullivan. C.J., Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. How we feel?
Great. Merry Christmas to you fellas as well, and holiday seasons, all that. How was Santa to the boys over there at SGPN?
Oh, very good. Very good. Yes. You know what? Santa gave me a 3-hour and 45-minute drive door to door from Los Angeles to Vegas.
Wow. That is awesome. Especially from your part of LA, Ryan. That is, you're setting a land speed record there. Look out.
It turns out people don't drive on Christmas.
No one drives on Christmas. I've done that drive with you, and we gave not that good of a time, but it was intense. You know, the podcast, we're on 2.5 speeds, conspiracies were going, but we ate some road and we got it done. You know, it was fantastic.
What's funny, CJ, is that as we were driving out this time, we were going through some of the areas where I was I was narrating the drive, and I found myself doing the same thing with the kids. And so I was like, oh, no.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's a new audience.
Kramer's got his road trip routine down. All right, CJ, you've been you crush it in the ladder portion, identifying some NFL player props. We won the ladder. What's your first ladder? What do you got cooking up over there?
Yeah, coming off a fresh Pearsall ladder from before. Me and Ryan were kicking ourselves for not having Parker Washington last week. Because we're both Jagoffs, as you say, on the Jag and Wagon. This offense is absolutely rolling right now. That's best in the league. Their hottest team can be. So I want to jump in. I'm not going to chase Parker Washington's numbers here, but I am going to attack this Jaguars offense. Big game versus the Colts coming up. Not afraid. I'm going to go with Brenton Strange, tight end. Ever since he's rejoined, he's kind of changed the offense a little bit. Now, the Colts last week, of course, just gave up, 7 for 115 yards to George Kittle and a touchdown. They are the fifth worst in the league, the tight ends, towards yardage. So I think with all the weapons on there, you got to pick who the prince is going to throw the ball to. So the first meeting they had a couple weeks ago, he only had 3 for 27, but that was, of course, the game Daniel Jones got hurt. The game script was out of hand. They didn't really have to air it out. This one might be a little tighter with old man Rivers for a little bit until he throws his glorious pick six. So stay tuned to the pleaser section for that. But anyway, point is, Brenton Strange, you can get a decent number at him. Just to get Santa out of the shed there, 40 yards is plus. It's already plus money. That's plus 105 there. I'm not saying he's going to get George Kittle numbers, but if he gets up there around 70, 80, 60 yards is plus 288, 70 yards plus 468, 80 yards for Brenton Strange against his terrible Colts defense against the tight end is plus 730, 90 is plus 1120, and why not? 100-yard game, just in case Santa's looking for some extra cookies on the roof, plus 1760 for a 100-yard game for Brenton Strange.
Yeah, no, and I see even there is a possibility of 110. If he does what Kittle
did. There is a 110. I don't want to scare the audience in there. Sometimes, you know, it's holiday season. People have a little too much eggnog. Once you start climbing the ladder, things can get dangerous. So, listen, I don't recommend reckless laddering, especially during the holidays. But, yeah, of course, I'll be dabbling at 110 yards is 29-1 while I'm up there.
Well, and Kittle didn't even play the entire game. He he rolled his ankle at some point. So, I mean, there's a world where he gets 125 against this Colts team. And it does feel like the Colts offense is competent enough that can kind of keep this a little bit of a game and a shootout. So we'll see. I mean, the Jags defense has been good. I do like the Jags in that game. But Brenton Strange having a big game. I can totally see that and just racking up yards after yards after yards. CJ, I also see you have a ladder here in the game that no one wants to see except Ryan and his family. Raiders Giants. What do you like here?
Raiders Giants, the game of the weekend, of course. Ryan, that's why he didn't explain that he drove out with the family to attend this game, of course. And I'm sure the kids are very excited. What an amazing Tank Bowl going on here. It's like a Squid Game chess match. They're going one by one, removing players from the game. Max Crosby storming off like, okay, we'll take out Joe Thomas. Your move, Raiders. You know, it's kind of hilarious. I was actually thinking about going to this game. There was one point where Ryan actually got a ticket for me. Unfortunately, I looked at my calendar and I had literally anything else to do but then to go to this game. It was originally going to be a Saturday. They flexed it to a Sunday. Maybe if they flexed it to a Tuesday morning, could have possibly gone. But point is, I love games like this, though. Games that mean absolutely nothing. This is where you get stupid numbers. Now, what kind of a shock was, not a shock, but, you know, definitely a surprise last week was the Raiders offense came alive versus Texans, great Texans defense. And obviously a lot of it had to do with Geno Smith coming back. But also they're trying to look at some young players, and I'm looking at Jack Beck is the rookie wide receiver. The last 3 weeks, his usage has spiked. He is second in targets only behind Brock Bowers, who, you know, they just put on IR because God forbid they try to win this game. So everyone likes Trey Tucker. He's a little inconsistent, but Jack Beck has been his main target share. They're trying to showcase him. And the Giants, as Ryan knows, they're the fifth best matchup for wide receivers. I mean, their defense can't do anything versus run or pass. But so I'm liking Jack Beck to get some yards. I mean, and he starts off very low at 30 yards in this game, where there's going to be absolutely no effort on defense for either squad. 50 yards plus 215, 70 yards is plus 650. An easy 80-yard game in this lackadaisical game is plus 910. And a 100-yard game for the rookie wide receiver who's been looking very good, 14-1.
The Giants have, and worth noting, they've been very bad against receivers this year. 179 catches for 2,409 yards and 15 touchdowns. Only in three games did they keep a receivers out of the end zone. This also fits the profile of if you were tanking and say you were telling players to go home, even though they wanted to play football, you'd want to get your young guys involved. And this was a fantasy nerd darling in the offseason. Yes. So I love this play, CJ. I think I'm going to have to do something silly to keep this one entertaining. And as far as my daughters and their awareness of what they're about to walk into, they have no idea. They're only worried about the fit. They're just worried about the fit. They don't even care about the game. They're going to have some investment on some anytime touchdown plays, but they might not know that it's a game for the one seed or the one draft pick.
Well, they're going to fit right in the modern NFL game, especially that stadium. That's all that no one cares about the game in any of these new stadiums and games, especially the Raiders game. It's a great time. It's a great experience. But yeah, the game is definitely in the backdrop of that. It's filmed in front of a live studio audience.
I will say, I do think there are going to be a strange amount of Giants fans in the building.
Sure. Do you see them around right now this weekend?
Aaron? Yeah. Circle? It's crazy. There's more Giants fans here than there have been for most teams.
Hopefully Guy Fieri is at the game. He was at the game I went to, and it was electric. And to Ryan's point about his daughters, one of the daughters asked me, like, what dress goes well with a brown paper bag over my face? So maybe they are prepared for this game and the state of the New York Giants. CJ, you're always good for a two-touchdown, a little mini-step ladder. What do you like this week in the touchdown ladder segment?
Yeah, just a quick one, like we said, to hide the cookies and gifts. I like looking at some. There's a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of bad quarterbacks, a lot of good young quarterbacks, all towards the end of the season. When young quarterbacks, what they do is when things go bad, when it's under pressure, the first read is gone, they take off, they run. And but one young quarterback who trying to steal the rookie of the year, we hope so, as we have a 250-1, is that Tyler Shuck. That's Shuckleheads. This team just keeps rolling. He keeps getting better every single week. Now, Tennessee actually has a decent run defense, but they have a bad secondary. But that's not the point. Tyler Shuck runs the ball, and he runs the ball well. His anytime touchdown, I have it here at plus 370. And his two touchdowns against the Titans defense is 33-1. I mean, look at his rushing stats. Now, he only ran two times for eight yards last week, but that was the Jets. They blew the Jets out. He didn't have to, and he was airing out. But before that, 7 for 22, 6 for 18. Tampa Bay is when he had two touchdowns, 7 for 55 and two touchdowns, a couple of long runs. And Carolina, 8 for 32. So he's a willing runner. He gets out there in a game, another game that I think is going to have a little bit of fireworks. I think that's kind of a low total. Give me Tyler Shuck. And they've been trying to, you know, showcase him. Obviously, they want him to do, and they have no running games to speak as it is, unless they want to give Taysom Hill his send off. I don't know why they keep trying to shove him down our throats, but I like Tyler Shuck to try to get in the end zone 3-8 and 33-1. Why not?
Yeah, love it. Yeah, Brock Purdy, 7-44 a couple games ago. The Titans, against that Titans defense. Hey, when we return, we'll give you our NFL pleaser. We cashed last week. Don't want to miss it. Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer, hanging out with us, CJ Sullivan, on the Progressive Guest Line. I don't know about you guys, but if you have any more holiday shopping to do, maybe it's a buddy, coworker, whatever it is, or just give yourself a gift. No better time to do it than just going right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get in. You get VSiN Pro. Everything VSiN does from now until May 1st, $79. Maybe they have to eliminate Jared Goff off that graphic. But a lot of good. I mean, the AI prop tool in and of itself is worth it. The betting splits. And, of course, 24/7 live on-demand video on the VSiN Watch app. So many good reasons to go pro. And if you're not a VSiN pro, you're a VSiN amateur. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Get started now for only $79. Great offer. Great deal. I mentioned it on the previous segment, but we're coming off cashing our 25-1 pleaser. So for all the sharps out there who say these Scantron pleaser cards are a waste, I say no, because at 25-1, that means we're up for the season and we're playing with house money here these last couple of weeks. The playoffs are tough to do pleaser legs, but we'll still take a look. But yeah, we got two more good weeks of pleaser action here. We'll start here with you, CJ. What do you like? What's the first leg of our three-team NFL pleaser?
All right. And just to remind the fans, when we hit last year, it was week 18. This is the sweet spot for the pleasers. These dead teams. You know, when these teams are dead, we go in, we check out the autopsies and we find out, you know, what bodies aren't moving. So there was a lot of dead teams. And last week we hit pretty easily. We had a nice formula. I thought one decent favorite, one mid favorite, and then a dog with two dogs, like Chargers, Tennessee, and the Bengals. But I'm going to take one, which I know you guys probably will not be on. So I'll just jump on the grenade early. because I do like the Rams, but I know you sharps like Atlanta, so I'll stay away from that one. But here's a dog that I circled, and I like to grab one dog. We got them, I think it'll be -1.5, so it's basically just got to win the game. And I would like these Miami Dolphins, actually. This yep. Tampa Bay team's broken. You know, they're just flat out broken. And I still think there's a world they lose this game to Miami. Carolina loses to Seattle in a tighter game, but and then they still can play for the division. It's crazy enough. Week 18. But Quinn Ewers is obviously the problem there with Miami. I think this line is, I think this line, the normal line should be under 3. So it's 5.5 in regular game. So it's -1.5 in the pleaser. Quinn Ewers wasn't great, but it wasn't as terrible as it seemed. Like, he threw the ball around. He got some yards. They had that series where it was three turnovers in a row. Obviously not good. They weren't all his fault. A lot of balls popped out of his hands. I mean, he can do an effort. But the point is this is Buck team. It's not just Baker's. It seems that they all play like Baker. Baker's playing good, they play good. If he doesn't, they all go. They just can't do things. So I think Miami might rally the troops here and pull off a victory.
Whoa.
I love it, CJ. I like the onions play here on the Dolphins laying the 1.5, and you nailed it. Yeah, I mean, they could just easily look ahead to this Panthers game mm-hmm. next week. And in particular, I was taking a look at the touchdown market. Now, the problem is I couldn't decide because they are Darren Waller was a little banged up, but it seems like he's a go. But Greg Dulcich is also involved, so maybe he steals some of those touchdowns. But yeah, I mean, this to me is really this Bucs defense is not right. They should not be laying this many points on the road. I think it's a good pleaser opportunity. I like it. Dolphins -1.5. Kramer, what are you doing?
I'm shocked at that answer, but it does make sense as the game could become meaningless. And while in the break, I did also verify we were just a lot of games where stuff might not matter. And we could go to the Falcons game because there's a similar angle. Yeah. I did just verify this, that if the Niners and the Seahawks win on Sunday, the best the Rams can do is the 5 seed, period.
Okay.
And they're locked in. So that's an option. But I think the Bengals are certainly an option to run it up once again. I mentioned to Sean earlier, although he said he wants nothing to do with this, that the Browns, another team, maybe the Steelers don't end up needing this one. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I say all that to say lots of options. CJ's right. This is pleaser season. But I think we would be silly to not just go right back to the Bengals. I don't know. If it feels it's 14.5, so we are on the wrong side of that number, but I think this could turn out just like the Dolphins game. They win by 21 to 24 points. We call it a day, not really even a sweat. So I'll throw the Bengals out there.
Yeah. Bengals was on my short list. I think this Cardinals defense is trash and the Bengals are just licking their chops. Jamar Chase is talking about how he's got a touchdown. Kramer likes Gesicki to get in the end zone. And you get a warm weather dome team in a meaningless outdoor game in cold Cincinnati. Like, they're not going to want to show up for that. They didn't want to tackle in a dome last week.
Right.
Fully heated up against the Atlanta Falcons. I think this Cardinals team is beyond dead man walking. So I love that. Kramer, I'm going to go against your Titans, which I know you have a love affair with the AFC South in general, in particular your Jags, but the fact that we can get this Saints team to please the number here at 9.5, I think is a good opportunity. I love fading the Titans off a win. They have 11 consecutive games, both straight up and ATS. They failed to cover off a win. Longest ATS losing streak is courtesy of the Titans off a win. I think they show up here. I think the Saints team, clearly, their defense is playing really good. They're like 7th in defensive EPA per play. They beat up on a Chiefs team that was clearly kind of dying. And once Gardner Minshew went out of the game, that was over. But fading the Titans off a win, I love it. So I like the Saints laying 9.5 on the pleaser card. CJ, is that crazy?
No, I mean, I'm a chucklehead. Of course, it's not crazy. And I love the number being 9.5. That's why I like it there. But I can see this going. Obviously, a letdown spot. People are going to say, oh, the Titans defense was, you know, better improved last week. I mean, come on. That was a Gardner Minshew with a torn ACL and then whatever the heck that guy was last night. That's, I mean, to a team that literally just opted out. So I think, yeah, a rude thing's coming. The Saints team wants to win and his defense is good. I can see this. Yeah, I can see this being like a 24, you know, six game type situation or even get out of hand. So why not? Yeah, give me Shucklehead. They're rolling.
Anytime you can lay 9.5 with the Saints, yeah, you got to do it. You
on the road,
Kramer. Yeah, come on, you were on the Jets last week, and they smoked the Jets. I mean, come on.
Speaking of which, real quick,
I'm just saying,
this will be in the text after the show for a private stock 17er pleaser because I was trying to cut down the list. There's teams that win by pleaser coverage, like the Colts earlier in the season. That's now become the Jaguars, as they're averaging like an 18-point margin of victory this during the streak. There's also pleaser losers, and those Jets you mentioned, I think it's the last four games, they've been outscored 111-36. They lose by an average of 25 points a game in this last streak. So even the Patriots minus 20 doesn't sound crazy, even though they're opting out a lot of people. I mean, that you want to talk about a carcass team. Just throwing out there and quite tanking that with Brandon Cook. I mean, my God, the numbers are staggering. Just saying,
it's really bad. And the Pats are obviously in the mix with the one seed. They want to keep the pedal to the metal, and they want to destroy the Jets. Which it's tough to make a case for the Jets. Another couple other pleasers that I was close to, or get your thoughts. I mean, the Raiders lay in 6.5. They're at home. That is a necro pleaser now. It's going the other way.
It's a reverse necro. They were,
You know what? Maybe not, because now they're Kramer. The Raiders are favored now, right?
Yeah. The Giants are favored. So the dead number would be taking the Giants because now that we know that the Raiders have gone full quit and you only have to move the number, 5 points right now? I'm sure it will continue to move, too. The wildfire that is the Pete Carroll surrender flag will spread throughout the betting universe.
That one is a little scary.
That's probably not a good proposal, Sean. Probably not a good proposal.
The Eagles beating the Bills by a touchdown, 6.5. That was consideration. That was on my short list. But I'm sticking with the Saints. Kramer, why don't you update people, the bubbles, the numbers? What do we got?
Well, I had to fill out 3, so I almost have it by memory. But you're going to fill out bubble 11, Bengals minus 14.5, bubble 20, Titans minus 4.5. I'm sorry, bubble 19, Saints minus 9.5. I almost slipped onto the wrong team there. And Dolphins, bubble 22, minus 1.5. So 11, 19, 22, minus 1.5. And as usual, plus 2,500.
Those are three very non-playoff teams right there we got.
We got more. We got CJ for another segment. Going to hang around, talk a little college football playoffs. That's right. College football playoff picks. We're going to walk through the slate here. All that and much more when we return. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second, the Money Green, with our partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer, hanging out with us. CJ Sullivan, the Bottom Line Bombs Podcast. Of course, before we get into it, we're going to talk a little college football playoffs. If you're looking to get in on the college football playoffs, good reason to sign up over on Boomer Sportsbook. That's right. Boomer Sportsbook. Use code VSIN250 when you sign up for a Boomer's mobile account, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets. That's when you use the promo code VSIN250. Head over to betwithboomer.com. Must be 21. T's and C's apply. Bet responsibly. You know, our buddy Scott Bowser, who's a Nevada local, said he fired up the Boomer account. Love the bonus. And really enjoyed it. So betwithboomer.com, promo code VSIN250. In the break, I was discussing that we all have a Texas Tech future that we pulled together. And CJ, you were the one who kind of threw out the idea, hey, let's we had been running up. It started with Jordan Love throwing for 300 yards against the Cowboys. That cashed nice 3-1. Good eye by Kramer. And then we rolled it in one more bet and then had like $1,000 in the kitty, tossed it over on Texas Tech to win it all at 25-1. Now I'm seeing anywhere 6-1, 9-1, depending on where you're looking. How are we feeling about Texas Tech going into this thing, CJ?
Oh, feel absolutely great. They are going to walk to this championship game. It's Texas Tech Raiders. They actually got the, I mean, obviously, you know, tough game versus Oregon coming up, and then they'll have Indiana, which is maybe the better matchup of those between them, Ohio State or Georgia. But it's just weird, the top four seeds, and the Oregon coach was even saying, like, we should be playing at Texas Tech. This is so crazy that this is at a neutral site. They haven't played in like a month and a half. Like, the way they have this playoff system is so hilarious. They just never get it right. But, I mean, they got as good a chance as anyone. I mean, they're loaded. The reason why we did it, because they have this $100 million roster. They're like, oh, you want NIL money? Texas will show you some real oil money. And they bought themselves a heck of a team. So they have as good a chance as anybody, I think.
Yeah, let's why don't we start with that game? Thursday, noon East, Oregon at Texas Tech. Kramer, what's the number you see?
Oregon's all the way out to a 2-point favorite. Before we started recording or going live here, I did grab a little Texas Tech plus 110 on the money line. I mean, like CJ's saying, I think kind of obviously the college football playoff has some sort of a relationship with the Bulls that require them to do whatever the Bulls say, because this thing doesn't make sense. We're waiting. We're not playing college playoff games this weekend because we want to wait for the bowl games, yada, yada, yada. Expand the playoff so the teams that are good in the regular season can get a benefit of playing a home game. This is silly. But anyway, you slice it, though, I think them not playing a little bit has allowed people to forget who they are. Yeah. And I think Oregon, guess what? They played one of the baby teams. Good for you. Good for you that you won against one of the baby teams who had to cross the country. Now you go not into, I wouldn't say enemy territory. Neither team probably super close. What are they? This one's in the Orange Bowl. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not one for gardening, so not looking to hedge our position. In fact, I'm doubling down on our position because, like I said, I'm taking the money line. I love Texas Tech may be the best defensive front in the country. They got a great offensive line, and I'm gonna fade Oregon here. They haven't exactly shown up against all the top teams.
See, I'm with you. I mean, to me, what was appealing when we got this future originally was just Texas Tech, the way they dominate in the trenches, both offensively and defensively, I think is huge. I mean, when they went into Utah and got that win, I was like, all right, this team is for real. The pad level's amazing. And you get this Pacific Northwest team out of their comfort zone of Autzen Stadium. And maybe there is some rest versus rust. Maybe Texas Tech gets off to a slowish start. But I do think in a game like this, the physicality of the Texas Tech offensive and defensive line is going to be the difference. So I'm with you guys. Let's keep it rolling. Texas Tech plus 110 on the money line. CJ, could you make a case for Oregon here?
Well, of course. I mean, this is actually a pretty very evenly matched team. It's kind of a strength on strength. I mean, Texas Tech probably has four draft picks, on their defensive line. But Oregon's got a couple of future NFL picks on their offensive line as well. Texas Tech's elite front seven, Oregon's got speed. They're both 1-2 in explosive plays and 20 plus yards, and they're both tied for fourth in defending them. So there will be eventually determined in the trenches. I actually think maybe the time off will help this defensive scheme Oregon better. And that second half versus James Madison, that they get sloppy like that sometimes, Oregon too. You know what I mean? Like it was troubling. Well, that couldn't stop things. So Morton, of course, could be shaky. They haven't really been in a tough game. This is a step up in class from the Big 12, but I'm not afraid. I'm with Kramer. Let's double down. Let's go. Texas Tech Raiders.
Yeah, let's go.
And I would say in general, it's kind of interesting to see how, with the exception of Ohio State, the lower seeds are essentially turning in. Well, I'm sorry. With the exception of Ohio State and Indiana, the lower seed, Ole Miss and Oregon are very attractive to the bettors. I think in both cases, you're seeing the sharps kind of gravitate towards the dog here. So I'm smitten with Texas Tech, so I can't see past them.
All right, log it up for Texas Tech. Kramer, what's another what's the best other college football playoff game we want to break down?
I kind of want to talk about this Indiana-Alabama game because the number is stuck right at 6.5, which what does that tell you? Well, typically it's telling you should go take the dog. I don't get it. I think this Alabama team is fraudulent. I thought Oklahoma, something happened in that game. Maybe the punter was in on it. I know there's been a lot of slow-mo replays of him dropping the ball or placing the ball on the ground. I think the kicker who's selling T-shirts, monetizing his ability to kick long kicks and wear short shorts, he fails. And so I wasn't that impressed with Alabama at all. I think Indiana, what have we seen from Cignetti? He loves to put you down on the ground and get on your neck. So I love laying the big number with the 6.5 with Indiana. It's going to be a chalky side from what I can tell. CJ, what about you going to get in on this T-Mobile situation with Kalen DeBauer down there in the new look soft Alabama?
I'll give Kalen DeBauer credit for this. He is good as a dog and when it's counted out, but this team the last 6 weeks in general has just not looked good and have not looked apart. And they are one dimensional. And against this Indiana defense that can stop the run and the pass, that's gonna be trouble. Indiana's just battle tested too, you know, and they won at Oregon, at Penn State, the Big Ten championship game versus Ohio State. Yeah, I love Cignetti. Google me down for this. I think they win this by like 20 or so. I think you're exactly right. Alabama's fool's gold. And last week I wasn't impressed. I was just with Oklahoma shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, no, as someone who was on Oklahoma, I mean, they were up 17-0 and then they just completely unraveled. The punter dropping his own punt, the pick six. And that's what, I mean, besides being a good team overall, like Indiana isn't going to give you those opportunities. I just don't think they're going to fall apart. I mean, even in this little Cignetti run, they've shown up in these spots. They've been competitive. I like fading this Alabama team, and it's at the Rose Bowl. Kramer, what do you think the crowd's going to be like? I think Indiana fans, they love traveling. They love getting out of Indiana. This is one of the biggest games in program history. So I think the Rose Bowl is going to be packed with Indiana fans. Alabama fans, they're diehard fans, but they've seen so many big games over the years. Are you going to be that motivated to travel to a non-championship game? What do you think the fan splits?
Alabama shows up everywhere. Someone who's seen Alabama in a neutral site game, they will be there. But Indiana is loving being a football program right now. I'm with you. So much so, I pray for the good people of Pasadena. Me and the fans of Indiana are currently at war. And I think, you know, some of these people aren't the kind of people you take home to meet the parents, if you know what I mean. I would guess that Alabama will still have the crowd. I think it's going to be a good split, 50-50, probably a good atmosphere. But no, I think there's also this element of the teams that weren't supposed to be there. If we approach it like college basketball, once they get through, then they become a fade target. And so maybe we throw Alabama and Miami in the fade pile and we just stick to the old college basketball handicap there, Sean.
I will say also, maybe a few Alabama fans are scared off from coming to L.A. They get a lot of Fox News down there. They think there's a lot of fires and tents and situations as someone who lives in Los Angeles and has family all over the country. They can't believe I live here. They're horrified. Listen, Alabama, I mean, I'm not saying they won't show up, but I bet a few of them are scared off.
That is true. Maybe.
I think Indiana cruises. I think Texas Tech wins in a close game, but certainly going to be exciting as we figure out the college football playoff. And the Rose Bowl is going to be seeing all red, both Alabama and Indiana. Just to me, Alabama thrived off those mistakes by Oklahoma. I just don't see Oklahoma or Indiana doing what Oklahoma did and kind of giving them the game there. So give me Indiana laying the 6.5. Lock it up. CJ Sullivan, thanks for hopping on, and make sure you check out CJ Sullivan Bottom Line Bombs wherever you get your podcasts. When we return, you guessed it, more NFL picks. Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second in the Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Kramer, what are you doing New Year's Eve?
I think I'm hanging out with you.
Yes. Correct answer. We're going to be hanging out in L.A. We got the wives together doing a little dinner, hanging out at the studio. But if you're going to be in Vegas, you don't want to miss it. New Year's Eve. That's right. Awesome. I mean, these events downtown are really great. And of course, shout out to Derek doing a great job revitalizing downtown Las Vegas. Check out New Year's Eve 2026 countdown under the canopy all night long. Six concerts on three stages, including Robin Thicke, CeeLo Green, and Chingy. $60 party starts at 7 o'clock. Head over, get tickets at vegasexperience.com or the Slotzilla box office. Vegasexperience.com or the Slotzilla box office. Fremont Street, super fun. Just downtown in general. While you're there, of course, pop into the Circa, check that out. The Golden Gate, a lot of great properties right here downtown.
All right, let's get back into it. We do have some more football to talk about. Three games to be exact. We're going to start with the Saints and the Titans. You know, a long time ago, it was written in stone that you take the 2.5, you don't lay it. Well, New Orleans is laying it here on the road against Tennessee, who is coming off a good performance. New Orleans coming off a handful of good performances, albeit you can question the competition. Tennessee probably falls in that bucket as well.
Yes.
This is a great late season matchup here. Although both teams appear to be trying their darndest. Sean, are you going to continue to be a shucklehead here? I'm guessing so based on the pleaser segment.
Yeah, no, like I said, love fading the Titans off of a win. That's a great time to fade this Titans team. And yeah, it's been fun ride here, being a late shucklehead. I think the guy's playing pretty good football. The skill position players around him, there seems to be the team is gelling. I think Kellen Moore is showing kind of what he can do here. And honestly, on the other side, the defense is buying in. Yeah, you look at all the advanced metrics. I mean, it sounds crazy, but if you look over like the past 5-6 games, Saints have one of the better defenses. Now, certainly playing the Panthers a couple times, but I mean, those are division games, so I don't think it should be totally thrown out the window. They won at Tampa Bay as an 8.5 point dog. They won outright. Of course, you know that from watching the show. I was on the Bucks. The Saints money line there. So, yeah, I mean, this team has been playing pretty solid. And I think that continues here. I love fading the Titans off a win. I love Kellen Moore versus Mike McCoy as far as a coaching matchup. And I love this Saints defense to be able to turn over the Titans and slow them down here. So I think Titans are in for it come Sunday. So, yeah, I love the Saints laying the 2.5.
I think Mike McCoy said it best. Sometimes you got to see the ball go in the basket. And I think the Titans just saw the ball go in the basket. A lot of talk about how Cam Ward has been developing over the last couple of weeks. And really what I saw last week against the Chiefs, I understand the situation that they took advantage of, but you to pay attention to the sidelines, no different than the Saints. Like the Titans were into this opportunity. And I think a lot of the talk this week in the media, or at least in the press conferences coming out of the Titans coaches, was talking about building off of this. I think they have an opportunity here. I'm going to listen to that holy grail that tells you to take the 2.5 and not lay it. And love this one. I'll be honest. I'll be tailgating somewhere for the Giants Raiders game. I might not have to. I might not have time to watch this one, Sean.
Well, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out from a shucklehead performance to be remembered.
All right. Speaking of games that kind of matter, maybe Bucks, Dolphins, obviously it matters for the Bucks. They got to get something figured out because as we've talked about for the past couple of weeks, it's been puzzling to see how bad Baker's been playing. Todd Bowles defense has been playing. And now they have a potential get right spot against a Miami Dolphins team that, in Mike McDaniel's words, thought Quinn Ewers earned the right to get another start and continue to develop. I do think this is a Todd Bowles defense going against a rookie quarterback, perhaps a get right spot for them. And then also on the offensive side, I understand that all the pieces have been there. they got to get right at some point. I'm going to buy in. I think this line stinks, and that's why I'm laying the points with Tampa.
Yeah, no thanks. Give me the Dolphins here. As a home dog, I thought I saw some slight, Quinn Ewers, I think, again, they put him in a bad spot, not giving him a full week to prepare. I think with a full week to prepare, I think he's going to look decent. I think they're going to be able to move the ball. I like Waller. I like Dulcich. And then Achane. Achane is still playing his butt off. And against this Bucs defense, which used to be able to rely on them to slow down the run, you can't do that anymore. And yeah, Ryan, maybe other Todd Bowles defenses, but not this Todd Bowles defense. And yeah, I feel like I've been saying this is a get right spot for the Bucs now for a lot of games in a row. 7 games they've lost ATS. So maybe they're due would be the counter. But I think the Dolphins hang around with this in this game. I wouldn't be surprised if Panthers lose to Seattle and this doesn't matter for the Bucs. I think the Dolphins are playing hard because they know Mike McDaniel is going to be their coach next year. They looked at the injury report. Tristan Wirfs is out. I think that's huge. Him not being there is going to make Baker's life even tougher. And Baker's not right. It's not like he's playing slightly worse than normal Baker. He's like bottom three quarterback in all sorts of advanced metrics here the past few weeks. So I think the Bucs slide continues. I think Dolphins are live in this game, but certainly with 6 points, I will happily take the Miami Dolphins here as the home dog.
Yeah, good luck. I envision this one to be a lot like the Cincinnati game last week, so who kind of profiles similarly with the exception of Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield.
All right. Yeah, there's a pretty big difference there.
There is, but the defense is bad. They got the running game going. There's a lot of parallels you can draw. Another Florida team who I might have been right about in the preseason when I said they're going to go 13-4 and win the AFC. We're tight. We're close on that one. It's going to be a sweat down the stretch in the Jag. And this week the Jags head to Indy, where the Colts are going to run out Phillip Rivers. I imagine this is another one of those games where if the Texans win, the Colts are eliminated. I get the sense they're starting Phillip Rivers regardless. That being said, this Jags team is a literal jag wagon right now. I don't know how you could go against them, even if that number -5.5 currently at the Circa is a little scary. The total's 48.5. There will be points in this. We just watched San Francisco carve up this Colts defense. I was watching with you, Sean, and you just kept saying this Colts team can't get a stop. I don't think they're going to get too many stops here against the Jags. I'm laying another big number on the road here. Give me the Jags. Give me Trevor. And as CJ says, our Prince is going to continue to perform.
Yeah, you either have Phillip Rivers, who I'm projecting, he thinks he's starting. So if he thinks he's starting, Shane Steichen's his like best friend. So I don't think Shane Steichen's going to tell him he's starting if he's not starting. Now, certainly, as you pointed out, they could bench him with the idea that the Texans, they're eliminated from the playoffs. But I think this is just about him showing he can still do it, helping his Hall of Fame case. And I think they're going to put him out there. Now, Phillip Rivers off a short week after playing the 49ers, I don't think that's ideal. He needs those couple extra days to get right. And I think the rest disparity, albeit only a day, I think could make a difference here. I'm not going to fade this Jags team. They are unstoppable. They are just a wagon train set to destroy everyone who comes in their path. But yeah, I think this Jags defense will be able to turn over Phillip Rivers. And we see really, it's just about eliminating those couple Trevor Lawrence plays. And Liam Cohen, again, you want to make a case, Ryan? I know you're on Liam Cohen, Coach of the Year. He's certainly in the mix. I mean, just look at the Bucs offense with and without Liam Cohen. Is it a huge personnel difference? No, it really is. I mean, you see it with the Lions offense with no Ben Johnson. You see it with this Bucs team with no Liam Cohen. So I think the Jags are on to something. Historically, they've done well against the Colts here, ATS. So I think this is the Jags' game to lose. Now, maybe there's a chance Phillip backdoors it in a dome here. But, I'll lay the currently 5.5, right?
Correct. And
I think you're pretty safe here laying the 5.5 with the Colts. Or, sorry, with the Jags. Ryan, who do you want the Jags to play in the first playoff?
Well, hold, real quick, and I'll answer that question. Anybody, not scared. That listen. The Jags were 4-13 last year. The Patriots were 4-13 last year. Why is everyone making it seem like Vrabel is doing a better job than Liam Cohen? What am I missing?
Well, there's local media guys who cover the Patriots. No one covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. And so there's a lot of Pats in the national media that are helping make his case. When we return, more NFL picks.